The latest survey from the EU Monitoring Centre for Drugs and Addiction shows that in this country, there's an increase in lifetime addiction to cannabis, cocaine and ecstasy. Many of Ireland's rehab facilities offer programmes of anything from 4 weeks to 3 months. However, with less than half of those entering treatment each year doing so for the very first time, there does appear to be a problem of relapse. So is there a better way? Tiglan Rehabilitation Centre in Ashford, County Wicklow, offers something different. It's a longer, more holistic programme with the ultimate aim of complete rehabilitation. And our reporter, Aisling Moore, has been out there and she's with me in studio. Aisling, good morning.
Good morning.
And why is Tiglan different?
It's the length. It's 16 months long, it's residential, and it's that all-in approach. It's all your kinds of therapies, all of your approaches to getting back into the real life, having come from probably a very chaotic life beforehand.
All right, so whether it's drugs or drink or gambling or sex addiction, Tiglan will treat you.
It's everything. They say that addiction is about escapism, and it doesn't matter what your addiction is, it's about you searching for something that you're not going to find the end result in.
It also sounds, 16 months long and lots of TLC, it sounds expensive. So how is it funded?
This is the remarkable thing. 34% of it comes from government through the Drugs Task Force, and the rest of it is completely fundraised. It costs about $1 million a year to run the centre. If you have 24 men and 12 women, it costs about 26, maybe 27,000 for an entire year.
And do any of the attendees have to pay anything?
If they're on social welfare, they're asked to contribute some of their social welfare towards the food costs of living at Tiglan. Other than that, there is no cost placed on the student nor their family.
All right, now tell me, what's the atmosphere like?
It's really lovely. You think of an addiction centre and you're not really sure what you're going to get when you get there, but you walk up the driveway. Women and men are kept separate, so you have two houses either side. There's dogs running around. There's an all-weather football pitch. There's a garden with a polytunnel and ducks and chickens out the back. And when you're in the centre, the people are just so happy. They're calm. There's banter. There's crack. They're watching telly. They have lunch together, staff and students, every day. Not staff at one table, students sitting elsewhere. It's everybody all in working together.
Now, I know you were talking to some of the attendees. Are there stories, common stories? I mean, do they all share, if you like, a childhood of missed opportunity, lost opportunity, or indeed no opportunity?
For the majority, that's the case. They come from very disadvantaged families or disadvantaged areas. They've had difficult childhoods that led them down a path often through their teenage years. Aaron, I sat down with and I had lunch at a table of about eight people. Aaron is still a young man, but he has already been a heroin addict. And he told me that during his first few days at Tiglan, he was actually detoxing. So for the first five nights, he didn't sleep. He was going through all of the DTs, as they call them, of trying to come out of his heroin. He found it so hard. He said, I want to leave. I want to get out. Take me on the bus. I want to go home. The staff tried talking him around. He was having none of it. So they got the bus, drove him down. And I was in the bus. He borrowed a phone and he rang his mum and he said, Mum, I'm coming home. And she said, no, you're not. You're not welcome here until you are clean. You're there. You got a place. You stay. Don't come home here. If you're leaving, that's you, but you're not coming home. So he rang one of the friends that he would have hung around with during the trouble days. And he said, I'm coming out, I'm coming out. Where are you? I want to come meet you. And this friend laughed at him on the phone. He said, I knew you wouldn't do it. I knew you weren't able for it.
He mocked him.
He mocked him. And he said, that's what made me turn around. He said, he hung up the phone. He said to Richie, take me back. I want to go back. And he cried the whole way back up in the bus to get to Tiglan. But it was the thing that made the difference, was someone telling him, you can't do it. He says he's lost that arrogance. He's calmer now and he's starting to see the possibilities of what this could be for him. And learning to trust the staff was the hard part. They're working for his benefit. And he's never really had that before. Someone who's working for him. That he found hard. And especially, he learned that he didn't pass phase one for the first time around.
Stop. I was going mad, you know, I was going mad, I really was. And but I know it's the right thing for me, you know. What, I wanted a day out to go out and do my thing, you know. I mean, they can't, how can I go out if I'm not ready to go out there, you know? Because you know, I probably wouldn't come back, or I, you know what I mean? Like, we need these phases, and I didn't think about all them things before, but I know what we need them for now, you know. It's an important thing.
How soon are you going to have your second attempt at phase two?
In another 2 weeks, another 4 weeks, I'll have another attempt, you know. And by then, I surely should have it, you know. Hopefully I do. I'm learning that it's okay to be weak and it's okay to talk to people about your problems. You don't have to be the hard man all the time. You don't have to be fighting with everyone all the time, you know.
You don't have to be. It tells you everything about his previous life. Tell me, is there a spiritual dimension to this?
This really intrigued me. There is quite a strong spiritual element, and it's based on Christian values of love, respect and value. And the thing is, they're not used to hearing these words, and it does unnerve them when they first go in there. There was one guy I spoke with who said that he was having a very, very hard day and he just wasn't doing very well in a therapy session. And a therapist turned to him, she put her hand on his knee and she said, "You're valued here, you're loved here, don't give up yet." And his reaction, bolt upright. He sat up, he wasn't able for that. He didn't know how to cope with that emotion.
That kind of intimacy and emotion.
At touching your knee, that set him, not set him back, actually set him forward, but really, really hit him quite hard. He was saying that he himself didn't have much spirituality when he went in there, and there are atheists who have completed the programme very successfully. But Tiglin used those values about loving and respecting and caring for a person, and they use it to break down those barriers and build up that trust again, because the staff really do want them to succeed, and some of them find that difficult to deal with. One of the graduates I spoke with was a guy called Danny, who at 22 has successfully completed the programme. He was bullied in school, had no confidence, couldn't communicate, and ended up taking drugs and drinking alcohol as a teenager to try and feel ready for the world and able for the world. Eventually, he was expelled at 14, out of his home at 16, and was living in hostels. And he said, for the first while, this was great. I was free. I could do what I wanted. No one was asking me any questions. I could live the life. But he said he realised he wasn't brushing his teeth. He wasn't taking care of himself. He wasn't monitoring the type of guy that he was or used to be. He was just barreling down this life of drink and drugs. Eventually, after numerous suicide attempts, he said, I have to do something. He heard about Tiglin, did an interview on a Friday and got a place on the Monday. But he brought me to the chapel room because I had to ask about how a young man, probably never really attending Mass regularly before this, how he found the spiritual side of it. He took me to the chapel room and he talked to me about his first experience with those spiritual elements at Tiglin.
It was crazy. I didn't know what I was after walking into, but I sensed something that I never sensed before. I sensed a peace that I never had before, like. And it was mad hearing lads singing and all sorts of things, and what am I doing here? As days went by on the programme, I really seen that there was hope here. I really started believing there was hope, because the lads that had been here longer than me, they'd be encouraging me, telling me their stories, how things were with them. And this is guys coming out of a life of madness, being in prison. I was never in prison myself. But just hearing their stories and seeing how they are now, and not only hearing it, but I can see it. They have a shine about them. They're happy. And I wanted that, because I wasn't happy. I didn't have a life. I didn't have a hope. I didn't even know why I was here. So I really started saying, okay, well, if you can do it, I can do it. And as days went by, you know, things started changing my life. The relationship with my family became very good. I never had a good relationship with my father, and we were always fighting and stuff, and you know, the relationship started getting better. They'd come up and visit me, and we'd go out on days out, and I'd go home for my weekends, and the relationship with my family just became better and better. And not only that, but the hope that I now have, they seen it and they wanted it as well. My whole family's been completely transformed as well. They seen the change in my life and they wanted it as well.
Danny speaking about his family there, and you wonder, how do families react to the changes? I mean, these guys might come back and be virtually unrecognisable from the way they were.
This is it. They all talked about a new family bond to what they had previously. They all talked about how their parents were disappointed and their families weren't happy with the life that they had chosen or had been involved in up to that point. And simple things like pride. One of the lads, a graduate, Richie, got married 2 weeks ago, and he said one of the best things about the wedding day was his mum was beaming all day with pride, saying that he had turned his life around, he'd found a wife, and that they were starting out a new life together. But unfortunately, for some of the people there, family can be a cause of an addiction. And I met a guy called Decky. He comes from a family where addiction is fairly common. He is only in Tiglin for the last 4 months, 32. And up until that point, he had 25 jail sentences, be they detention centres or jail sentences in the likes of Mountjoy. He was on heroin for no less than 17 years. He took himself off heroin at one point, interestingly, and he talked about how he felt like he was clean, but because he was off heroin, he was taking every other drug under the sun to try and replace the heroin. He said that when he went to jail, they detoxed him every single time he came off the heroin, and then he continued his sentence on either methro maintenance or whatever it was. But the day he got out, where's my heroin? Back out there, he wanted heroin again. He told me that the effect his progress has had on his family is quite remarkable, that now he doesn't have that desire.
Yeah, I have two daughters, you know, and when I was out there, when they'd see me, they wouldn't say to me, but they would put their heads down, here's me dad, and he's strung out on heroin, you know. They're not like that now, they, you know, they're fighting to get up to me, you know, to see me constantly, you know. My young man heard me speak the other day, she's only 10, she heard me speak the other day that I was on heroin for 17 years, like, I thought she would have been running out the door. She was really proud of me, you know, very proud of me she was, you know, she was over the moon, you know. And the brilliant day, plus I was sober for the whole day with her, you know. You don't realise when you're out of your head, like, that you're doing the wrong thing, you think you're doing the right thing, but your emotions are normal, you have no emotions, you know, you're just like a robot, you know. But yeah, I have changed my attitude, I want to be clean for me and my family, you know. But mostly for me, you know. I didn't at the start, you know. I just came here so they'd all stop wrecking me head, you know. But now it's different, you know. Now it's different. I'm doing it for me.
Would you mind just... This is a card that you've got.
Father's Day card, yeah. Off me, girls, you know. It says, to Dad, I love you with all my heart. Keep up the good work. You're doing great. I'm sorry the card is late, but it's the thought that counts. You know, and it's all my two daughters, you know. Happy Father's Day.
That's this year?
This year, yeah, yeah. Yeah, believe it or not, it's the first Father's Day card I got off them, you know. And one's 10 and the other one's 15. Do you know what I mean? Oh, they probably gave me Father's Day cards out there, but I was probably out of my mind and don't remember what I'd done with them. Do you know what I mean? But I cherish this one, you know.
That is extraordinary. A 10-year-old child, a 15-year-old, and this is the first Father's Day card that he remembers. I mean, it's deeply moving stuff. How did the centre affect you, Ashley?
I have to say I was surprised by how strongly I reacted. I spent about 4 hours there in the afternoon, and you're meeting lots of people who are telling you where they've been and where they are now, and it was quite hard to hear. When I left, there's an avenue that you drive up to get to Tiglin from the main road, and it's quite a long avenue, and I'm glad it was long because I had to pull in the car. I started crying, and I'm not really a crier, and at the time I was aware that I was being very, very touched and very moved by how open they were with me and telling me about their lives beforehand. But it hit me when I left, when I could walk away and didn't have to see them. And I didn't want to stand in front of them and cry myself. But once I got into the car and I drove, I'd say maybe 50 metres, I had to pull in.
Well, it's fantastic work that's going on there in Tiglin. If you want to know more about the Tiglin Rehabilitation Centre, you can log on to www.tiglin.ie. They also need €80,000 in fundraising before Christmas if they're to keep the doors open. So details on how to donate are on the website. Or alternatively, you can post cheques and postal orders to a simple address, Tiglin, Ashford, County Wicklow. Ashley Moore, thank you very much.
Thank you.